more spare than I like, but that has been the price of keeping up. Maybe Mergen will get me to let go. I did 3 pages and some lines, and began to relax, thinking she would not come after all. But then she came in. She had bathed, too. Her hair was damp. A ghost of lavender or lilac or something hung around her. She was a little pale and a little shaky, and not quite able to meet my eye, at a loss what to do or say now that she was here. She buttoned the tent flap. I closed this book. It went into a brass-bound chest. I closed my ink and cleaned my pen. I could think of nothing to say, either. The whole shy routine was dumb. We had been playing around like this, and getting older, for over a year. Hell, we were grown-up people. I was old enough to be a grandfather. Might even be one, for all I knew. And she was old enough to be everybody's grandmother. Somebody had to take the bull by the horns. We couldn't go on forever, both of us waiting for the other one to make a move. So why didn't she do something? You the guy, Croker. Yeah. I killed the candles, went and took her hand. It was not that dark in there. Plenty of firelight leaked through the fabric of the tent. She shivered like a captive mouse at first, but it did not take her long to reach a point of no turning back. And for goddamn once, nothing happened to interrupt. The old general amazed himself. The woman amazed him even more. Sometime in the wee hours, the exhausted boss general promised, "Tomorrow night again, within the walls of Stormguard, maybe in Storm Shadow's own bed." She wanted to know the basis for his confidence. As time labored on, she just got more awake and lively. But the old man fell asleep on her. Chapter 39. Stormguard, formerly De Jagere. Even I grumbled about the time of day I got everybody up. We all ate hurriedly, my valiant commanders in a clique so they could pester me about my plans. A crow perched on the tent pole at the front of my tent, one eye cocked my way, or maybe ladies. The bastard was leering, I thought. Really, weren't we getting enough of that from the others? I felt great. Lady, though, seemed to be having trouble moving with her usual fluid grace, and everybody knew what that meant, the smirking freaks.
"I don't understand you, Captain," Mogaba protested. "Why won't you lay it all out?"
"What only I know inside my head, only I can betray. Just assemble up on the stakes I had put out and offer battle. If they accept, we'll see how it goes. If they don't kick our butts, we'll worry about the next step."
Mogaba's lips tightened into a prune. He did not like me much right then. Thought I didn't trust him. He glanced over to where Cletus and his bunch were trying to assemble shovels and baskets and bags in numbers enough for an army. They had 1,000 men out scouring the hill farms for tools and more baskets and buckets, and had men sewing bags cut from the canvas coverings from the wagons. They knew only that I had told them to get ready for some major, massive earth-moving. 1,000 men were out trying to forage timber. You need a lot of timber to invest a city.